Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. More than ever about the issues of aging. I don't know how much more. One of the things that all of this has done is brought into full focus the issues of aging. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. It's brought into clear focus what happens and how frail the elderly are and how much all of us are going to age and how much all of us need to pull together and quit nitpicking this stuff and tearing it apart and that kind of stuff and placing blame. There's lots of blame to go around. There'll be plenty of time to place blame later on. Today, I want to talk about the reality of what happens to us when we get older and hopefully give you some solutions. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. I have been here for 21 years, been dealing with the issues of aging for 30 years, author of a book, Navigating Frailty, which is available and still relevant. If you want more information on how to get that book, you can call me. Couple things. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. And there's a bunch that do and a bunch that don't. I was talking earlier today to someone who's without a doubt the best elder law attorney in California. And we were talking about the implications of all of this. And we're kind of on the same page as to where we think we go from here. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, which is registered and recorded in Sacramento County, California, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I can do trust and wills and powers of attorney and have done many, many, many of them. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. What else? I'm a notary, and everything I talk about here is my opinion only, and it's always just my opinion only, and should never be taken as any form of legal, financial, or other advice. It's just my opinion. Sometimes my opinion, I think, is correct. Sometimes you might think it's not correct. That's your choice, but it's my opinion. And last time I checked, although it's changing rapidly, we're still free to voice our opinion about stuff. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for all your faithfulness through all of this. I hope you find it helpful. And I hope you find it more than helpful. I hope you find it motivating to the point where you will actually take steps to contact me and do some of the stuff that I've been talking about for 20 years. Today I'm going to talk about a different subject, and I want you to stay with me as I do that. I wish this was live. I wish I could do call-in, but I can't. I'd love to be back in the studio, and I'd love to be at the station and be able to take your calls, but I can't. But you can always email me with questions or call me with questions, and I would be happy to do that, to answer them. Now, I do have something coming up this Sunday. That's the day you're listening to this, the 10th. It's going to be at 5 o'clock p.m. My radio show is at 7. You've already listened to it, but you can go back and re-listen to this because it's recorded. At 5 o'clock tonight, I did a webinar. If you subscribe to my newsletter and other things and my Facebook Live, hopefully you join me. If you didn't, you missed something really, really, really good. Because the webinar was on staying at home. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But not on what you thought it was on. And this show tonight is not going to be on what you think it's going to be about. I'm going to talk about COVID just a little bit, but only as a framework for talking about toolkits. And I'm going to talk more and more and more about toolkits. When you do any job, it's always important to have the right tools. I had to change the shower head today on the shower in my house. I needed the right tool to do that, and I had the right tool, and I did that. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as we talk about my subject for the day, which is staying at home. That's something we're all familiar with, but I'm going to approach it from a different way, I hope. You've all heard the stuff. Two articles I want to point you to today. I have a stack literally that's 6 inches deep of articles I've gleaned and stuff I've gleaned over the last several months. The first one I want to refer you to is from the Wall Street Journal. I've told you before, a lot of stuff comes out. In fact, both of these were in the Wall Street Journal on last Thursday. But I think they're worth reading, and I think even if you have to pay for the article, you should go get them. The first article I want to point you toward, and I've talked about this a lot, is the number of people in nursing homes that nobody can talk to. People are looking through windows. Well, the first one is, "I'm sorry I can't kiss you. Coronavirus victims are dying alone." The other day, I have an article here somewhere where I don't know where it is. Oh, here it is. This is from the AP 5-5. New York State just found 1,700 previously undisclosed deaths in nursing homes. How do you miss 1,700 deaths in a nursing home if you're the governor of New York? People are dying alone with nobody there to say goodbye because hospitals are locked down, nursing homes are locked down, assisted livings are locked down, boarding cares are locked down, everybody's locked down. And people can't say goodbye. That was from the Wall Street Journal, April the 10th. Also on, I think, April the 10th, was another, or right around there, was another article in the Wall Street Journal. And it was entitled, "Nursing Homes Considered How to Reopen. When Can I Come and See My Mom?" May 6th, I'm sorry. The first one was on April the 10th in the Wall Street Journal. The second one was on May 6th. "Nursing Homes Consider How to Reopen. When Can I Come Home and See Mom?" The one from April the 10th was, "I'm Sorry I Can't Kiss You. Coronavirus Victims Are Dying Alone," by Jennifer Levitz and Paul Berger. The second one, Claire Ansberry, who writes a lot on this stuff with the Wall Street Journal, called "Nursing Homes Consider How to Reopen. When Can I Come and See Mom?" The point is, people can't see each other. So everybody's trying to figure out in the long-term care industry, how do we reopen and let family members in without putting the people inside at risk? And the people inside are at risk, a lot of them who never should be, because nursing homes were never intended to deal with this. In Sacramento, there's only one or two nursing homes that are capable of dealing with ventilators. There's only a few who are able to deal with trach tubes. Not every nursing home is equipped to do that, yet by edict, a lot of hospital patients were transferred, who had COVID, were transferred to nursing homes. Someday we'll find out how many. In New York, it's a lot. In New York, there's over 5,000 people. Half the deaths in New York were in nursing homes. And a lot of those people were transferred from hospitals by executive order because they were afraid of hospitals filling up, which they never did, and emergency rooms filling up, which they never did. And yet people were transferred from hospitals, which were much more equipped to deal with this, to nursing homes. So my question is, by the way, and what, 20,000 people in the United States who have died of this died in nursing homes. In England, it's half. In Europe, it's half. Half the people who died were in care homes. Just let that settle in for a minute. Care homes were not and will never be equipped to deal with this kind of stuff. They're not designed for that. They're designed for long-term care. They're not designed for this kind of illness and this kind of infection. They never were designed for that. I've been in nursing homes, folks, for over 30 years. This is not a knock on the nursing home industry or the assisted living industry. They're not equipped to deal with this kind of pandemic. And in my opinion, They never will be. It's not what they're about. They're not about taking care of acute care. That's what hospitals are for. Hospitals are there to deal with acute care. Not nursing homes, not assisted livings, not boarding cares. So, you're sitting at home and you're looking at all this and you're getting older and you're going, I hope to you know what, I never wind up in one of those places if this ever happens again. I've spent my whole life talking about nursing homes and Medi-Cal and affording them and all that. I want to shift focus a little bit to if this is scary to you, and it's scary to a lot of people, then what's the alternative to going to assisted living or going to a nursing home or going to a boarding care? Somebody raise their hand and tell me what it is. Okay, you in the back row.
Well, Bob, I think the answer is I want to stay home.
Oh, and the back wins a Thanksgiving turkey. Staying home. It's what everybody has always wanted. The reality is people don't plan for it, and so they can't do it. And so when they need long-term care, they wind up in nursing homes, which are now taking care of acute care patients when they were never meant to, and assisted livings, which are taking care of acute care patients when they were never meant to, and boarding cares, which are taking care of acute care patients when they were never intended to or designed to. So the alternative for a lot of people is I want to be able to stay at home. Okay, let's talk about that for the rest of this hour. You want to stay at home. Get out a pencil and paper. Don't do this if you're driving. Get out a pencil and paper because I want you to write two things down. Because we're going to talk about these two things. And we're going to talk about them in light of a toolkit. I talked last week about toolkits a little bit. That, you know, everybody at home has a toolkit to do stuff. Everybody has a toolkit. Yeah, I mean, I have a toolkit. Everybody has a toolkit. Everybody has tools in their garage or somewhere in the kitchen drawer. Somewhere. We all have tools. An iron is a tool. A sewing machine is a tool. We have tools for doing all kinds of things. We have a telephone. It's a tool. We have a computer. It's a tool. We have a printer. It's a tool. We have speakers. They're a tool. Whatever it is, it's a tool. It helps us do things and make life easier. So we're going to talk today about what's in your toolkit when it comes to the question of how do I stay at home. So here's the two things I want you to write down on the piece of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, write it on the palm of your hand with a pen. Hopefully not a magic marker, or you'll have it there for the next month. The two things, if you want to stay at home, there's only two things that are at the core of staying home. And then we're going to talk about what tools do you need to do this. Our number one, who's going to take care of me? So for right now, just write down the question, who's going to take care of me? And then the second question is, and write this down, how am I going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? So let's go back to the first question. That'll probably consume most of this half hour. Who's going to take care of me? Okay, write down who's going to take care of you. I'm waiting. You know, what's the old thing? Dun, 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 dun. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of you? Write it down. Write down who that person is. Well, my spouse. Okay, good. Write down my spouse. If it's not your spouse, who's it going to be? Is it going to be your son? Is it going to be your daughter? Is it going to be your grandchild? Is it going to be your cousin Fred? Who's going to take care of you if it's not a spouse? Some of you never had children. So who would take care of you? If you're married and something happens to your spouse, who would take care of you? Write that name down. If you don't have a name, put a question mark there. We're going to go through this systematically. And I hopefully am going to make you think about this. And then hopefully you're going to want to make sure you never miss my next webinar. And hopefully you're going to call me when this is over. And I'll give you all that information in a little while. Or you're going to email me. Or you're going to get more information. Or you're going to make a decision that you have to have the answers to this. Because if you want to stay at home, you have to deal with these two questions. Okay, so who's going to take care of me? Do you have a name? Okay, now next to that name, write the word dead. What do you mean, Bob? Well, I wrote down my spouse. What if by the time I need care, my spouse is dead? Next to the word dead, write the word incompetent. What if the person I picked, my spouse, is alive but not competent? Now who's going to take care of me? Because that was your first choice for most of you, or if you're married, or if you're in a relationship, or if you're in a registered domestic partnership, I don't know. But it was your partner, your spouse. That was the first answer for most of you. Who's going to take care of me? Okay, so you wrote that down. Then next to it you wrote, okay, so now if your spouse is dead or incompetent, or you don't have a spouse, who's going to take care of you? That's the next person on the list. Who is that? Well, Bob, it's my friend Judith. It's my daughter Julie. It's my friend, it's my son Junior. Picked a lot of J words there. Okay. Have you talked to them about it? Have they agreed to it? What if you're completely goofy? What if you can't get out of bed? What if you need to have your diapers changed? What if you need help cooking food to stay at home? What if you need, I want you to be writing all this down. Because if you don't have answers to this, you're going to be up a creek and you're going to wind up in the place that you don't want to go. So who's going to take care of you? You should have names on your piece of paper. You don't have any names, then you're really up a creek. And you're going to really have to think hard about this, and you're going to have to really do something really, really soon, because you had it all planned out. I can't tell you how many people have junk documents, and in their documents they named somebody, you know, they named a spouse, and that spouse now has dementia. So the person they named to take care of them is either deceased or has dementia. Or they had their daughter listed, but their daughter got married, has three kids, and moved to Ohio. People don't think this stuff through well, folks, because it's never going to happen to me. Well, if all of this proved one thing, is that this happened to a lot of people who never thought it would happen to them. If we've learned anything from this, it's that a lot of stuff happened to people who would have sworn on a stack of Bibles. I've had them in my office for 30 years and will look me in the eye and say, it's never going to happen to me. Nope, not me. I'm special. Never going to happen to me. Well, if you still believe that, then you're living, you might as well go down to Fairy Tale Town in Sacramento. By the way, it's closed. But if it was open, you could go down there and go down to Fairy Tale Town and join in all the fairy tales down there. By the way, personal thing, I love Fairy Tale Town. I've loved it since my kids were little and since my grandkids went there and we all ran the Crooked Mile together. How many of you did that? How many of you, never mind. If you live around Sacramento, you know about Fairy Tale Town. But if you believe this couldn't happen to you, then you might as well go down there and join the rest of the people who are there for the fairy tales. But remember, if you go to Fairy Tale Town, you have to take a kid with you. You can't just go there on your own. So now I've named those people. So whoever it is, well, I don't have anybody, Bob. What do I do now? Oh, then you got a really big problem. You have an exceptionally big problem. I wonder, and I'll never know the answer to this, how many people in nursing homes had nobody who could make decisions for them? How many people locked up in assisted livings or boarding cares or memory units or boarding cares had nobody who could make decisions for them? Maybe didn't even know that they were there. You think that doesn't happen? It does happen. So now the answer is you've picked whoever. If you haven't picked anybody, then you better call me before this show is over and talk to me. And you better darn well come to my next webinar. I don't know when it's going to be yet, but you better be looking for it. I'll give you the information in a minute about how you get that. And now you got the piece of paper out so you can write this all down. So now you've picked the person. Okay, let's go back to the toolkit. You got a toolkit. You want them to take care of you. What tools have you given them? Well, what do you mean, Bob? Well, you're in the nursing home with coronavirus or whatever it is, or you want to stay home. You want to stay home. So, and you've picked the person that's going to take care of you. So what tools have you given them to take care of you? Well, I have a will. I don't care. Why? Because wills only go into effect when you're dead. But my son's the executor. Well, when you're dead, that's fine. But what if you're not dead? Well, I have a trust. Do you know how many trusts I look at that are only probate avoidance trusts and don't ever address the issues of infirmity, illness, frailty? Never. It's not mentioned in there. I told you I was having a long discussion with an elder law attorney, the best one in California. I won't tell you where he is, but he's not around here. And that was one of the things we were discussing, is people think they have stuff that's going to deal with this, but I'm telling you right now, half the people who were caught up in this stuff didn't have the right tools. They didn't have the right documents. They thought they did, but they found out that they didn't. And I wish I could tell you the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories that have come across my desk in 30 years, people who thought they had the right tools, and when it turned out that they really needed care, they didn't have the right tools. So, do you have the right tools in your toolkit? Are the right documents there? Do they say the right things? It's not having them. I have a car right now with air conditioning, but the air conditioning doesn't work. It's got air conditioning in it, but it doesn't work and the weather's getting hot. So what good does it do to have air conditioning that doesn't work when it gets hot? So it's getting fixed. And the guy that will fix it has the right tools to fix it. Is this all making sense? You get it in your own life? So how do you find out about this stuff? Well, write the following down. One is, I can make sure you get the right tools. I've been doing it for over 30 years. You can call me. Write my phone number down. Right here in Sacramento. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I'm completely set up to deal with all of this stuff remotely and make sure you get the right tools in your toolkit to make sure that the person you've chosen on your list to take care of you, you've made sure that they have the right tools. And then secondly, you can go to my website. You can go to assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, assets, and, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can look for my next upcoming webinar there. I don't know if I've got a date yet by the time of this show, but you keep looking for it. You can get my book. You can go to my website. You can look at all kinds of videos. You can follow me on Facebook Live. This week, I did 2 Facebook Lives on this issue, this very issue. Did you watch Facebook Live? Did you go there? There's no political stuff. This is all about the issues of aging. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. And there's also a direct link on my website. You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday at noon. You can become a subscribing member to Assets and Aging. I posted some videos on this recently. I'm going to post another one in the next week or two on the issues I'm talking about today. The point is, all the help you could ever need is available so that you have the right tools and you're listening to the guy who can make sure you have the right tools. You want to stay home? Well, what was question number one? Who's going to take care of me? If you haven't picked that person, then you should call me during the break. If you have picked that person, then you better ask yourself, does that person, have I given them the right tools? If you're not sure, you better call me or email me, or at the very least get to my next webinar. It'll be sometime within the next week of this show. But you need to make sure that you have the right tools in your toolkit. If you don't, call me, 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Go to my Facebook page and watch my Facebook Live videos, facebook.com/assetsandaging. When I come back, we're going to talk about the second question. The second question is, how do I pay for staying at home? If you get a chance during the break, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Stick around for the second half where we're going to talk about money. I'll see you back here in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. Thanks for joining me. We're talking today about having the right toolkit. We're also talking today about the, you know, everybody's aware of the coronavirus. Everybody's aware of all the people in nursing homes dying. Everybody's aware of they're all locked down. Everybody's aware of that. And the question today is, if you don't want to go to a nursing home, you can't, you don't want assisted living, you don't, because you're afraid of all this. When all of this is over and this impacts you and it's your turn for this to happen and the aging process to happen, if everybody says, well, I want to stay home. Okay, so we're talking today about how you can stay home. And the question we asked in the first half hour was, then there's two questions. You write them down on a piece of paper if you're just joining me. Question number one is, who's going to take care of me? Have you talked to them? Have you given them the right tools? Do they understand? Have they moved away? Did they die? Have you changed your mind, but you still have documents that have old information on them? You have inadequate documents. You have documents that don't have the right tools to do this and to give to that person. That's question number one. Question number two we're going to talk about in this half hour. Question number two is, how do I pay for it? So question number one is, I want to stay home. If I can't take care of me, who's going to take care of me? So you wrote that down under the first question. Who's going to take care of me? My spouse, my nephew, my daughter, my granddaughter, my whatever. And then next to that, you write down, what happens if that person I picked is dead, is incompetent, or unavailable because they moved away? I named my daughter who used to live here, but my daughter moved to Ohio. She now has three kids, and she can't take care of me from Ohio. But Bob, I gave her my power of attorney. I made her the trust. I know, but she's not going to take care of you because she lives in Ohio or wherever. She could live here and just be unavailable because she's got a family. She's got a job. And she can't take care of you. So now we go to the second question. And by the way, if you don't have anybody, then you should have already called me during the break. And you absolutely have to call me by the end of the hour. I'll give you all that information at the end here. So let's talk about money. I've picked the person I want to take care of me. Now, if it's my spouse is probably not going to charge me any money to take care of me. But I got to ask the question, okay, we go back to, is my spouse capable of taking care of me? Well, yeah, okay, that's today. What about 5 years from now? Today you're 75, your spouse is 74. 5 years from now you're 80 and your spouse is 79. Or you're 85 and your spouse is going to be 84 5 years from now when you need this. Or that spouse that you're counting on 5 years from now is gone. But that's what you planned on. And you never adjusted your toolkit, your documents, because that's all documents are, is a toolkit. You've never adjusted your toolkit. And by the way, what do you have to do with tools? You have to take them out and maintain them, don't you? You have to sharpen them. You have to oil them. You have to clean them. Any kind of a tool, you have to take care of and you have to maintain. Well, if your documents are a tool, when was the last time you maintained them? 5 years ago? 7 years ago? 8 years ago? 12 years ago? 37 years ago? I don't know. You have to figure that out for you. I can't figure that out for you. Has your toolkit been maintained recently? I don't know. Okay, so how are we going to pay for this? Well, Bob, I live in a house. I'll sell the house. Okay, but then where are you going to live? Oh. Yeah, that's right. Well, I get a reverse mortgage. Maybe, maybe not. If you're incompetent, you can't get a reverse mortgage. And most powers of attorney won't let somebody apply for a reverse mortgage for you. Well, I'll refinance the house. How are you going to refinance the house and make the house payments? If your house is paid off and you refinance it for $300,000 and you now have $4,000 a month of house payments or $3,000 or whatever it is, how are you going to do that to get the money to take care of you? Well, I don't know, Bob. I never thought about it. Well, I have a rental. Okay, you have a rental. So your plan is to sell the rental. So what did you pay for the rental? I paid $200,000 for it, Bob. Well, it's now worth $350,000. So when you sell it, you got $150,000 capital gain. You ought to talk to your CPA about what that's going to do. And then who's empowered to sell it? What in your toolkit allows someone to sell your rental if you can't sell your rental? Because you're incompetent living at home. Or you're incapacitated living at home. If you have a rental, have you ever asked yourself, do your documents, do your toolkit allow somebody to collect rents for you if you can't collect the rents? I don't know. Well, we have a family cabin. And our plan always was to leave that to the kids. I know, but what if you have to sell it to take care of you? Now what happens to the family cabin? I don't know. I know somebody right now, his friend of mine has a family cabin, and mom and dad had it. Now they're our age, and their kids don't really want to go up there all the time, and their kids don't want to maintain the family cabin, and the grandchildren don't want the family cabin. So now what happens? And who's empowered to deal with that if you can't? So maybe if I sell the house, then where do I live? Because my goal was to stay home. I can't mortgage it because I can't afford the mortgage payments, and I probably can't get a reverse mortgage for lots of reasons. So now what do I do to live in the house? And by the way, a lot of people got reverse mortgages too early, and they used it on frivolous things like vacations and buying other rental properties, and now they have no equity in the house because they reverse mortgaged all that equity out. Well, what's left? Well, my money. Okay, and my income. All right, so let's use a married couple. And between the two of them, they make $3,500, $4,000 a month. Okay, and dad has dementia. And mom has to hire help to pay for that. Because mom can't take care of dad with dementia, or dad is chair-bound or bed-bound. And mom has to, do you know what it costs to hire a caregiver? $35 an hour, $30 an hour. You do the math. So my $4,000 isn't going to go very far, $3,500 a month. So I'm dipping into what? I'm dipping into my savings. I'm dipping into my IRA. Now, I have a spouse. Now, the money was rainy day money. Well, the rainy day came along. So I'm going to take care of my spouse, or I'm going to take care of me. Do you know how much money you can go through easily every year having full-time care at home? Easily $80,000 to $100,000 a year. So if I had $300,000 set aside for a rainy day, how many years do I have to take care of me? Two or three, four. If you got $2 million, it's not a big issue. You got 20 years. But what if you're single? And your granddaughter's not going to come and take care of you. Your daughter's not going to come and take care of you. So you're going to hire a caregiver to stay at home. Well, you're going through $10,000 to $12,000 a month for a full-time caregiver. How long will your money last? $12,000 times 12 is $144,000 a year. If you don't think that's possible, ask people who have paid for round-the-clock care at home. Remember, we're just going through the set. The first question was, who's going to take care of me? Second question is, how do I pay for it? Because I don't want to go in one of those nursing homes where everybody's dying. I don't want to go in one of those assisted living places where everybody's dying. I don't want to do that. I want to stay home. So what's in your toolkit that's going to let you stay home? Do you have the tools in your toolkit to stay home? I don't know. I know what tools should be in your toolkit. I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what belongs in a toolkit to take care of this. Do you have it? Well, Bob, I live in a mobile home. It's a nice mobile home, but I've got space rent and insurance and all that kind of stuff, and I live on $2,200 a month because I'm single. I got $150,000 in the bank. How long is that going to take care of you in your mobile home? 1 to 2 years? I don't have the answer for you, folks. I'm asking the questions, and I'm asking you, what's in your toolkit? What solutions do you have to the second question? Well, Bob, my granddaughter's going to take care of me, and I've arranged, and I'm going to pay her for it. Okay, how much are you going to pay her for it? Well, I'm going to pay her $2,000 a month, and she's going to come and live with me. Okay, are you need care today? No, I don't need care today. Okay, is there a care contract in place that someday says that your family can take your money away from you and give it to your granddaughter to take care of you? Well, no, she's my granddaughter. I know, but it's your money. You have to protect her. You have to have a toolkit that says you have a care contract in place that says your granddaughter or whoever it is you picked can get paid for taking care of you. If your daughter quits her job to come and live with you, are you going to replace the income? Do your documents allow someone to make financial decisions for you, your toolkit, in other words, that you currently have, and it hasn't been reviewed, your toolkit hasn't been maintained, so you haven't done anything to it for 7 years. So you're not exactly sure what your toolkit says or how it's going to work. But is it going to allow someone to take what belongs to you away from you and give it to them? Because you may not be competent at the time. There's this thing called elder abuse, elder financial abuse. And most elder financial abuse is by family members. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my office over the years who had a relative. I could tell you story after story after story after story, and you'd think I'm lying to you, and I'm not. It's not uncommon. So what's in your toolkit that's going to protect your family if they need to use your money to pay themselves to take care of you? Or to replace lost income. Remember, nobody's dead in my examples. We're at home and we're alive. We may not be competent. We may not be in good shape. We may be in great shape, partly good shape. I don't know. But we've picked that person to take care of us. What tools have we given to them to be able to do that? Can the person living with you at home, or can somebody pick your doctor? Can they pick your diet? Can they pick who you go to? Can they get information on your lab tests to see what your lab tests say? I don't know. Does it say that in your toolkit? Well, I think so, Bob. No. You can't think. You have to know. You have to know what tools are in your toolkit. Remember I said last week, you always have you have a paintbrush and you have a wrench. Well, do you paint the house with the wrench or the paintbrush? You use the paintbrush, but you have a wrench. Well, the wrench is for changing a shower head. Okay, can you use a paintbrush? If all you have is a paintbrush, can you use that to change the shower head? Well, no, of course not. Well, this is the same thing. Do you have the right tools, and are you sure? See, I mentioned today I had to change the shower head in one of the showers. I already knew that out in the garage I had the right tool to do it. I knew that in advance. Before I even attempted it, I knew that. I didn't have to guess. I know what's in my toolbox outside. I also know what's in my toolbox of documents. I know what tools are in there. And I know who can use those tools. And I know that for a certainty. Do you know that for a certainty? Do you know what's in that toolbox? So again, let's review the two questions. I want to stay at home. I don't want to be in one of those places where everybody's dying. I know that, so I want to stay at home when my time comes. So who's going to take care of me, and how are we going to pay for it? And I'm going to add a third part to both of those. And how long am I going to be at home? Well, nobody knows that, Bob. My point exactly. Are you going to be at home needing care for 6 months? Are you going to need care for 2 years? You know, from diagnosis of Alzheimer's till death is on average of 8 to 12 years. Parkinson's is 20 years. MS is 20 years. Other forms of dementia are 8, 10 years. General frailty, I can't get out of bed, I can't walk, my legs have quit. I've had a leg amputated because of diabetes. I have congestive heart failure, I have COPD, I can't get around so well. I don't know. So how long are you going to need care? What does your toolkit have the tools, your documents, does your toolkit have the tools that are going to let somebody take care of you, whether it's a year or 2 years or 5 years? Are they going to be allowed to update your documents to meet changing times? For instance, lots of people used to have what in California are called living wills. We don't have living wills anymore. And they had healthcare directives, powers of attorney for healthcare, which we've now changed to advanced healthcare directives. Well, in 2007, a law went into effect called HIPAA. And a lot of those old advanced healthcare directives and trusts and powers of attorney were not HIPAA compliant because they didn't have HIPAA language in them. Things change all the time. I still have people that come in who have documents from 1998. And they haven't maintained those documents for 20 years. And they're woefully, the tools are rusted. They're out of date. They don't work so well anymore. They haven't been maintained. They haven't been polished and cleaned and oiled. All the things you have to do, anybody who has tools. If you go, one of the ways you can judge a really good auto repair shop or a carpenter shop is, number one, it's clean. It's well maintained. And secondly, you can see all the tools they have. They have tools for everything. They don't ever want to wonder when a job comes in, gosh, do I have the right tools for this? They may not take the job because they know they don't have the right tools. Any carpenter or mechanic knows that. They know what a toolkit is and how you have to keep it current. You know, I was talking to somebody today. Who was I talking to? I don't remember. Or this week. It wasn't today. But this week. And I said, you know, I used to be able to maintain my own cars. I changed the oil. I did minor repairs. I could tune them up. I could change the spark plugs. I lived in a time when there were points plugs and condensers and rotor caps and distributors and all that. I could do all that stuff. If I lifted the hood on a car today, I wouldn't know where to begin. I could probably point out a spark plug, and I could probably fill the radiator and the window washer, you know, fluid. But that's about it. Even though I used to know how to do a brake job, I wouldn't even attempt it today. First of all, I don't have the right tools anymore to do that. When I was doing that myself, I had the right tools. And so I could do it. I don't have those tools anymore. I have not maintained my toolkit. I now count on someone else to take care of my car when it's broken. Because I neither have the time nor the inclination. But more importantly, I don't have the tools to do it with modern cars and trucks and vehicles. So as you look at your toolkit, as you look at those two questions, who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? Have you answered them? Or are you stumbling around still going, I don't know what to do here. I can't answer those questions. Do you understand how many people are in facilities today that didn't have the right tools? We'll never know how many. But I can tell you what, it's a lot. I can just guarantee you, it's a lot. It's really a lot. They simply have not maintained the toolkit, which has allowed someone to take care of them. How many people do you think are hunkered down at home who really probably should be in a nursing home or should be in assisted living that can't get to them now because they're locked down and their family's now taking care of them or making decisions? Has that family got the right toolkit to make those kinds of really, really difficult decisions? I don't know. But this is not about a lot of people. This is about you. There's thousands of people listening to me tonight. Each one of you is a unit. You're an individual. What your neighbor's doing, what the other people listening to this show are doing doesn't matter. It's what are you doing and how are you answering the questions? It's really important. The good news is, I know what tools you should have, and I can provide you with those tools. You have to talk to me. I can't make it happen by osmosis. I can't send, you know, yesterday, my wife wanted oatmeal cookies. I make great oatmeal cookies. I make better chocolate chip cookies. I make the best chocolate chip cookies on the planet. I made oatmeal cookies. Okay, how many of you have made oatmeal cookies? Do you just go out and say, Shazam, you're an oatmeal cookie? Or do you have to have a lot of tools? First of all, you got to have oats. And then you have to have brown sugar. And then you have to have baking powder. Baking soda. And then you've got to have raisins. And then you have to have sugar. And you have to have flour. And you have to have eggs. And you have to have butter. And then you have to have an oven to cook them in. And you have to have cookie sheets to put the cookies on. So how many? I got to have spoons. I have to have a mixer. I have to have an ice cream scoop that I use to scoop out the cookies so they're all the same size. I have all those tools. I wouldn't try to make oatmeal cookies unless I first knew that in the cupboard I had everything. But a lot of you are trying to make plans for the future, just hoping that the cookies will suddenly magically appear. It's like Jack and the Beanstalk. You're just hoping you have magic beans. Remember, Jack and the Beanstalk didn't happen accidentally. Jack had beans. How he came about the beans was magic, but he had beans. And then he had to plant the beans, so he must have had a tool to plant the beans with. So how are you going to deal with this in your life? If you're a child listening to this, how are you going to deal with your parents when this happens to them? How are you going to deal with your grandma who's failing, or your grandpa who's failing? Or how are you dealing with grandpa who's failing and grandma is desperately trying to figure out how to take care of him, or vice versa? Taking care of someone is the hardest job on the planet. It's harder than taking care, in some respects, harder than taking care of a child. It's really, really, really hard. And add a few more work. It really, really, really is. So how are you going to do that? So how do you get help? Well, I know how to deal with the toolkit. If you're ready, I can make sure you have the right tools. I can make sure that your toolkit has been maintained, oiled, cleaned, and is taken care of. I can do that. You have to want that done. If you want that done, I can do that. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, I've already done that, Bob. I'm here to tell you a lot of you do not have a complete toolkit when it comes to the issues of aging and long-term care. I'm just telling you up front. You think you do, but you don't. So one way is you can just call me. It's simple. You go use the phone. If you still have a rotary, how many, anybody out there still have a rotary phone? I don't know. I haven't seen one in a long time. I see them on TV once in a while in something, but other than that, I don't see them. How many of you remember the Princess phone when we got, never mind. You have to be my age to remember the Princess phone. We all think we thought we'd died and gone to heaven when we had a Princess phone. So you can call me. My number here in Sacramento and everywhere is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I'll give it to you one more time. You got a piece of paper out with the two questions on it. Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? Bob, I need to find out if my toolkit's up to date. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assets and aging.com. assets and aging.com. assets and aging.com. You can go there. There's a place where contact Bob. You can send me an email. You can sign up for one of my upcoming webinars. By the time I'm doing this show, I may not have one scheduled, but keep checking my website. If you can go there and subscribe to my newsletter. If you don't already subscribe to my newsletter, it's free. And my newsletter tells everybody when I'm on the list when I'm having my next webinar or next whatever it is. You can make sure that your toolkit is up to date by taking advantage of either one of those ways of getting a hold of me. You can make sure you follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/assetsandaging. This week I posted 2 Facebook Live videos talking about this very issue, and I will do at least 1 or 2 this coming week. You can listen to my podcasts on my website on Wednesdays at noon. You can contact me, you can email me, you can phone me, you can get the information that you need. You can make sure that when you look at the 2 questions, who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it, that your toolkit contains the tools to deal with both of those questions. If you're not sure, wouldn't this be a really good time to do that? Because I can guarantee you that a lot of people have not been able, because they can't talk to the people inside the buildings, they're not able to make the decisions and have the control. They don't have the tools in their toolkit that they thought they had when this kind of stuff happens. The issues of aging are here. The issues of frailty are here. They're not going to go away. They're not going to get better. They're not magically going to heal themselves. Make sure your toolkit is up to date and ready to go. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. Get to one of my webinars. Give me a call. Get the help you need. I have the answers. I have the tools. Take advantage of that today. 800-999-8007. Have a great day. We'll see you here again next week. Bye-bye.